Dungeon.
Welcome back to Dungeon Court, everyone. Court is back in session from recess. Please stop. Please.
You can't.
You've zipped the bus. Order in the court. Yeah, there's words for this, right? We could get better at remembering the joke of this show. Anyway, I'm going to throw to how are we feeling about Jake for the bonus episode?
Ooh, don't like it.
Yeah. You've been playing with both of your hearts.
Yeah.
Oh, we're protective friends, and we think Jake is a problem.
Jake is a fucking player.
He's a player.
Jake the snake.
All right, we're going to throw it to Jake the snake.
Jake the snake, I love it. Hear ye, hear ye. Crit is still in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Quit trying to get into our good graces again, Jake.
Yeah.
Sorry for calling you honorable. Okay. Hootie McBooty writes in, and they write,
"My lord,
Hootie McBooty, I bend the knee.
Lord McBooty,
I bend the booty."
Everyone, relax. God,
I'm can't getting horny at the pace.
Why do they have such a crazy thing?
Yeah,
I twerk in open court.
Yeah, I rolled to see what I should order for all of my players, and then I TPK'd them with a Tarrasque.
Well played, sir.
They're level one, and they fell down a hole.
To the justice. Justices of Crit and the bailiff we deserve, I bring forward the case of our Lord and Savior. Whoa.
Oh.
Wow.
Group of four experienced players and one newbie, all friends. Our DM is chill and played for years and allows a lot of goofs, but our new player, Cleric, is bringing some weird vibes. He chose Jesus as his deity to serve, and some of our players think it breaks immersion. He absolutely loves Jesus in-game. Not religious in real life.
Okay.
And everything is flavored that way. Example, his spiritual weapon he summons is literally Jesus on a cross, spinning and cutting his way into his foes. The entire crew basically want to kill him for a new PC. My question to the court, does immersion breaking to this extent deserve capital punishment, or are we just being agnostic?
Okay, I have an idea.
Yeah.
First off, I think that this definitely sounds like a deeply uncomfortable situation, and you're totally like, especially since the other PCs want to get rid of this situation. What if you just make so like they're kind of feeling like it's breaking immersion.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just make like this cleric meets their quote unquote God and it's just a con man.
Ooh.
Right, so it's like this is not the biblical Jesus of our present world. This is a completely different character.
This is Jeff Suss.
Just fold Jesus into the D&D pantheon. Just be like, it was Pelor all along.
Can you just ask the player
why are we? I feel
like
we're
getting, on the DM.
What, this is on the DM.
Why did the DM allow a Jesus cleric?
The DM is chill, apparently.
Chill to the point of it being a problem, I would argue.
Yeah, immersion breaking chill. You've gone beyond chill. You're frozen, buddy.
Yeah, this is chilly.
Yeah.
Ooh, cold.
You have to lose your chill sometimes as a DM to protect your players.
Yeah.
There's three other players who are not enjoying it.
But also, why? I feel like we've been getting a lot of players recently that are doing these jokes that make the whole table miserable.
Like,
I don't get it. I'm joking. Why is this not funny?
It feels like they're like going home and talking to their significant other and being like, fucking killed it again.
It was so funny.
Everyone
was
I should do stand-up, babe.
I mentioned the crucifix seven times.
Yeah, it would be one thing if they were just like, okay, so we got this new guy in the group, deeply, deeply fundamentalist, really can't worship any other gods. So
right.
They put Jesus in the game. But the person is not religious in real life. They're just doing it as a joke.
Yeah, they have to be, right?
But the people at the table don't think it's funny.
And like,
what are you doing? Why? Why do people want to be like funny by making people miserable?
Right. It's fun when my friends are upset. I love when people hate me.
I mean, this is coming from a table that had mushroom Jesus, but that was just like a background joke.
But right. We all had fun.
That was just a joke.
That's the most important thing is that we all at the table had a good time with that.
Right.
We have a little saying at the table, you have fun and then you move in.
Yeah. There you go.
I guess I would say, cause, so this person who wrote in is the DM, right?
I don't think so.
No, the DM player, is chill.
Player. The DM is chill.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a shitty situation to be in.
A lot of it is.
Because I can picture this like text message being like, I'm thinking about playing a cleric whose God is Jesus Christ. And then this DM, for whatever reason, wasn't like, that feels a little game-breaking, my friend. That feels like maybe it would wreck the world
a little
bit. Yeah,
that's the kind of text you respond to that you're like, haha, great idea, but what if we changed it?
Yeah.
I love that, but Jesus doesn't exist in my world, so how can we pivot?
I love that. Can I build on that by suggesting someone other than Jesus?
Unless, generous read time, here it comes. Maybe Emily has the right of it, and this DM is planning a reversal. Like, that was like their plan from the start.
It could be. It's still too much to ask of the players, though, to sit around and wait for that to be the thing. Like, if their spiritual weapon is, I think I threw that out there to try to figure out how to work with this, but even I don't agree with that because it's still, you're sitting there with a spiritual weapon that's Jesus on a fucking cross.
I've still never understand, like, the people that seemingly don't play D&D to escape. Like, it's a fantasy world where there are different gods. Like, okay, we'll bring Jesus in.
Yeah. Can I have a Pepsi?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Even, like, I feel like we've joked about having like a Pepsi.
Yeah,
but then the
like
reveal is like,
things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just like, we just call it Pepsi, but it actually means pepped up stick or something like that. And you just chew on some fucking wood.
As long as
I
it's
mean,
a little
I don't
thing.
I don't mind pop culture. I like pop culture references. Yeah. As someone who plays with Allie Beardsley, I fucking love pop culture references
but
here
like
and
as,
there.
As flavor, not as like your central
But
thing.
Not, yeah.
It's hard to escape pop culture just because it's like part of...
It's fun. It's funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that this sounds really tough. This isn't even pop culture.
Some would say it was the first pop culture.
Yeah, this sounds, you know...
Maybe I'll just reach out to the DM and be like, hey, a couple of us are really not loving this.
Yeah.
Is there...
I feel like DM's being too chill.
Yeah. You know, maybe the chill DM, if they find out, then the chill DM becomes the kill DM.
Yeah.
You know, we've experimented with like video D&D court. I feel like, you know, we might go back to it. It's been a little time consuming for us, but I feel like if we ever wanted to do more video stuff, we should just do a full intervention section where like we go to tables and it's like we have like a full doc crew with us and we're like, hey, so your DM was too much of a coward to admit this, but like you're wrecking the vibe. And then we get like a full confession from them. Like we get like a full hour of content. This is like a weekly show where we just like go
so
in.
If filming was too much work, we'll start flying to different tables.
Also, fastest way to get murdered. Let's find our most unhinged people and fly to their house.
Show up at their house, surprise them.
Yeah.
Tell them they're going to be punished.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so this does seem like punishment material.
Yeah,
though.
I think you got to, especially if, I mean, just talk to the other players and you guys all as players, I think go to your chill DM and test and see if it's chillness or complacency.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because
I fear it may be the latter.
I'm curious if we punish the DM. That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad, but it is kind of like, you let this happen. You're watching your other players be uncomfortable and not enjoy it. I think the DM is in the best position to fix this situation.
Yeah.
Because even the player at this point with their weird ass Jesus Christ character, they are kind of stuck until the DM helps them get out of it.
A little bit of a generous read.
Oh,
but yeah.
I mean, it's easy enough. You just rapture them.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoa, okay.
You just, Poochie goes back
true.
To their home
You're
planet.
Just like, yeah, Jesus
oh
just
my God.
Comes and gets you.
Yeah, when you love Jesus so much. Grade, why don't you freaking marry him?
Whoa. When I was in eighth grade, my cousin scared the shit out of me. No, fifth grade. My cousin scared the shit out of me about the rapture.
Yeah.
Just like told you about it? Like let you know what was
like,
happening?
Literally sat me on a bed and was like, you and your family aren't going to get raptured.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh my God.
Whoa. Was he right?
We haven't been raptured yet.
I wouldn't know because I haven't talked to her because she got fucking raptured.
That's my favorite rapture theory is like only three people got raptured. We just like didn't miss them. We just thought that they like, you know, didn't come into work one day. They're like, no, they're chilling with Jesus now. Jesus needed three people to play Smash Brothers with.
All right. Okay. So let's punish this DM.
Yeah.
Because we are on your side. We're on the player side that submitted this. We're not on the player side who's making it weird.
Yeah. Cross-spinning cleric is not fun.
You know, I'm going to consciously get away from the Jesus stuff. And let's just say that they have to... They have to get their food randomly ordered for them.
Great. Mm-hmm. Right. And your FJ gets driven down a hole.
Your FJ gets filled with mayonnaise.
Yes.
Driven down a
Fill
hole.
This DM's car with mayonnaise.
Sweet. Actually, I'll order the food for you right now.
Yeah.
You got it ready, Jay?
For dinner, you are getting chicken and broccoli. So
okay.
That's a staple.
Not bad,
that's
but
pretty
it's
good.
Just on white rice, so it's not super flavorful.
Yeah. No.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes these menus have the one that has no sauce on it.
Oh, yeah. It's not good.
I wouldn't be happy with that meal. Tell you what. Speaking of dinner, so ordered.
All right.
Yes.
Moving along.
Oh, wow, Jake, back in our good graces. You know, he can play us. If he's going to drop lines like that, play us all you want.
I can't stay mad at you, Jake.
Appreciate it. Appreciate that, guys. Okay, Alana G. writes, to the gentlefolk of the court.
Okay.
My friends and I are playing an Eberron campaign. In the official rules, there's a mechanic for creating magic items using craft time plus resources. My character is making a bag of holding. So I drew what I thought the final design would look like based on the official bag of holding design and how I think my character would modify it. Here's what it looks like. I'm going to send it to you guys in the chat. Wow.
Visual components?
This is so cool.
This is fun.
This is, I love this
I'm
extra
already
step.
On your side. Yeah. This is... Oh,
it's cute.
It's very
really
cute.
Lovely.
It's a cute bag. It's got little fangs.
I argued that me IRL designing the item should count towards craft time because I think it's fun. My DM said no, based on the idea that the mechanic could be abused. I personally think that actual effort into an item is more meaningful than saying I create an item in 7 days using 50 gold and the spine of the kobold that I killed. I still support using kobold spines for craft purposes, but how cool to draw an axe that uses the spine for a handle, right?
I think that this is actually not, as someone who is really, really deeply unvisual, I think that this mechanic would also, I can't draw. And at the table, I would feel pressure to do so, and then I would... Yeah. I've drawn one fennel bulb my whole life, and that's the only thing I've ever drawn that I thought was pretty good.
But so, goddamn, did she draw that fennel bulb?
I would love to see it, but it's hanging in the Louvre, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, they had to cover it up.
Do you need to? I put it over Mona Lisa's face.
They put it so that it could be hit by protesters before the real art was destroyed.
I love your picture. I think it's great, but I do think it is just flavor.
Yeah.
I think it's just something you're doing for fun and to like add as like an aspect of role play. But this we've talked about this stuff before of like, if you're a bard or something and you could play an instrument in real life, or if you're a fighter and you can or can't lift a lot of weight or are strong or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with the game.
Some things you got to do just for the love of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a fun moment when you slap down that drawing and everyone's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
But you got to respect the rules a little bit.
Yeah. Do it for that, not for the mechanical advantage.
Yeah. What you've done in game is design it. Like, that's what your drawing is. So, have fun, I think, role-playing with that. But if you take it beyond that, then it's like, well, I could beat you up in real life. So why can't my fighter beat your boss?
How dare you?
How dare you?
Snuff out my talent.
I challenge you to a wrestling match.
It feels bad to punish this sweet artist, but it seems like that's where we're trending.
Maybe, I think that we could punish them.
I think all artists need to be put in their fucking place.
I think we could punish them by saying, like, keep drawing all your cool drawings for no mechanical advantage.
Yeah.
If that feels like a punishment to
them. I mean, like, I think that, again, I'll be generous. I'm feeling generous today. Jake has wormed his way back into my heart, and that's making me feel light and loved. And I think that like the DM could give you like a spare pocket in this that like always makes popsicles or something like stupid like that. I think that there's like room for the DM to like meet you, not halfway, certainly not halfway, but like one step forward. But I agree that like you got to follow the rules here.
I think that's fair in some sense that like it's very cool that you're out there when you're not actually at your table thinking about the game, designing something for the game. Maybe the DM could give you an attaboy for that, but it's wrong to expect one.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's wrong. I drew to this, one.
So what do I get? I think you drew it out of the kindness of your own heart, and it's awesome. It's cool. And that's its own reward.
I think that this would be a great case for, and this is something we don't usually use, but inspiration, right? If I'm like, if I were a DM that used inspiration, this would be a moment that I would be like, oh my God, that's awesome. Take a point of inspiration.
Yeah, roll advantage or something.
Yeah.
This, we were taking them back to inspiration station with this one. We get a lot of cases, I feel like, where like inspiration is the solve. And this is like one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we do have to punish you though, unfortunately.
Oh,
yeah.
We do have to punish you.
We feel inspired to punish you.
Yeah.
Caldwell, you would know the best way to punish an artist. Like, is it like, what, is there something that is the most annoying thing to draw?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at this bag and I'm going to say, wow, this reminds me of Scott Pilgrim.
What does that mean?
It's an annoying note.
It's an annoying note.
A fake compliment to be like, this looks like someone else's work.
So that was it. It was right there. That was the punishment. It was that catty little comment.
God, I've gotten that on like a pitch before too. Yeah. It really is the worst, but like so not a compliment.
Yeah, this is like someone else who's
I
good.
I love it. It's like this other thing.
Great. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
But seriously, it's the art's good.
But also, let's order
and executed.
We're also gonna order your dinner, and throw your Wacom tablet down a hole.
Yeah. Why don't we see what they get? Wow.
Okay. So for dinner, oh god damn, you are getting hot and sour soup.
Okay, that's it. That's all you get. You can just piece together some of the other sides
for dinner. That's all? And not even a thick one?
Yeah.
That's a thin soup, my friend.
That's a thin soup.
That's a thin soup. I'm sorry.
Good luck making a thin meal soup out of that thin soup.
You're going to need a lot of those little crackers.
Sorry to say it. Okay. So ordered.
Sorry. I'm just picturing like a very deep hole full of soup now.
200-foot narrow hole full of soup.
A 1 foot by 200-foot hole of soup.
And you have to finish it.
It's like a creepy pasta, but it's just kind of pleasant.
Have you ever heard the tale of the soup hole? Okay, Leith H. writes, oh, great and awe-inspiring Bailiff Josh and the kind of cool judges.
I love when they call you Josh.
I come to you with a case of the divisive table snacks.
Right.
Now, rotisserie chicken aside, I may have found a new low.
Okay.
We were playing directly after work, so I was unable to eat before going. No issue. We always have snacks. But the usual fare of chips and Monster energy drinks weren't cutting it. So I asked our host, a friend of over 10 years, if I could snag a meal from his cupboard, a somewhat regular occurrence.
You know it's going to be bad when they note how long they've been friends with the people.
Yeah.
So it's all the more devastating
when they stop being friends. Somebody tells me you went into their freezer and ate their memorial wedding cake.
Oh my God. He agreed happily, and I found a can of Chef Boyardee ravioli.
Okay.
Now, admittedly, not my proudest moment, but I opened the can, grabbed a fork, and sat back down at the table, ready to keep playing and ready to eat the cold ravioli out of the can.
What?
My friend kindly informed me if I did not heat up the ravioli, I would be removed from his home a la The Watchmen.
Okay.
I love this person. Yeah. I love your friend.
There's only one.
I picture it being said kind of quietly. Hey, man, if you don't heat up that ravioli, you're going to need to leave.
You will need to leave.
Can we, before we proceed, how does everyone respond to this? Because I think I know what I would do.
I have a really shameful confession.
Okay. I know that some people love cold ravioli. I think it's pretty gross.
Like all that cold tomato sauce.
Yeah, no thanks.
In my college improv group, I was known for just bring in a can of chickpeas, cracking it, and eating it with a spoon.
Oh my God.
Emily, I have a follow-up. Did you slurp?
You can't slurp chickpeas.
There's water in there. Did you do a slurp?
Oh, no, I didn't. Okay. I would pour out the water.
Okay. Thank God.
All right. Okay. You are absolved.
I'm a different person now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm a different person now.
What I was going to say is the only way out of this is if you just chug it all in one go.
Oh, that's so gross.
It's gross, but that's the only way out of this.
They're just so cold.
I feel like your friend, I'll finish reading this first.
Yeah, keep going.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't know there was more.
This incident spawned the great food temperature debate and has led me on an ongoing journey through the raspberry patch. So I ask judges, am I in the wrong for not heating up the ravioli in my caloric quest? I humbly await what I can only assume will be a razzing.
This is going to be divisive. There's going to be people in the comments going off on how good cold ravioli
is. I did not know that this was a thing.
It shouldn't be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, so it came out of the fridge or the cupboard?
No, I'm guessing probably just the cupboard. Just the cupboard, yeah.
So not even cold.
So it's not even cold. It's tepid. Lukewarm. Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine eating. I usually like things I don't like anything too hot. I like to be just above Luke, ideally. Yeah.
Justice is, I think because of my past, eating cold beans out of the can, I think I need to abstain from weighing in on
Are
this.
You're recusing yourself?
I'm recusing
she's
myself.
She's too emotionally involved.
I'm too involved in this.
You're opening a can of beans right now.
Wow.
You
just got hungry.
Sometimes when you have the time, you bring soy sauce and then you just pour it into the
right into the can.
Honestly, that sounds good to me. I like sometimes like a meal when you're famished, when anything is good and it's just like, oh, I'll just eat this cold and I'll shove it in my face.
But it's Chef Boyardee. You put it in the microwave. This is
not
like somebody eating frozen chicken nuggets and just be there's a quick sauce.
It's room temperature. It's not frozen.
True, yeah, that's where I take umbrage. Like if this was like cold ravioli, totally fine with that. Like I think you have to have heated it at least once. Like off the shelf, that's just disrespectful.
To the chef. To Chef Boyardee. That's not how the chef intended his food to be eaten.
We have to sentence them to get punished by Chef Boyardee.
If you're going to do this, you have to like black out the chef's eyes with a Sharpie before you do this because like they're going to be watching you and they're going to be rolling around in their grave.
Yeah. Here's another.
You've sinned against Chef Boyardee. Yeah.
Here's another aspect to it is that I feel like canned food, because of the sodium content, is like more powerfully pungent.
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
So this could be, if this person is kind of bothered by you eating this cold, like ravioli, they're going to be kind of smelling it more too.
I thought that this almost as like a good natured razz. Like it will taste better if it's warm. And I can't, since we're buddies for 10 years, I can't be like, oh, you'll enjoy that more if it's warm. You have to be like, you're disgusting for eating it like
that. I mean, honestly, it's kind of grossing me out thinking about it. Just imagining the cold, like the room temp noodle hitting my mouth and just like all of the congealed tomato sauce in that can that hasn't been shaken up.
I'm sure they stirred it, Murph.
I'm recused from this, but like, I mean, it's taking me back to those room temperature garbanzos.
I know. You're too emotionally involved in the case.
Oh, yeah. I guess garbanzos.
And like a plastic spoon because I was in college and I just grabbed one.
I personally respect the chef's recipe and I believe that Chef Boyardee made this ravioli to be enjoyed warm, but he's fine with it being enjoyed Luke.
Yes, chefs famously are cool with you doing whatever you want with it.
Mr. Boyardee did go out of his way to can it. So he did intend for it to be enjoyed in different ways. I mean, think about it, camping.
You can build a fire. You put it over the fire.
You need a snack while you build the fire.
I beg you to re-enter.
No, I'm recused. I'm too close to this.
Re-recuse.
Re-recuse.
You have to re-recuse.
The canned food is a technology that rose up simultaneously with modern heating technology. One cannot exist without the other.
So after a little research, it is fully cooked, so it is fine to eat.
Yeah.
It's not going to make you sick, except me when I think about it. But I was kind of expecting this to be like a really intense debate, but I can't find that much about it. There's like Reddit threads of people showing their like cool Chef Boyardee and people responding being like, I remember my depressive teen years. I remember my depression.
Hey, what's your everyday slurp? Everybody post your everyday slurps.
There is one of the top things is somebody being like eating Gold Chef Boyardee out of the can. Anyone else love it like this? It only has 4 upvotes. And one person is like, get weird looks every time I do it, but I love it. And the original poster responded, said, found my people. And that's it.
I think this person didn't go far enough into the domain of sadness. I think they should have asked to have a snack from the cupboard, opened up the lukewarm ravioli, and then taken a shower with it.
Yeah, or just been like, fine, you want me to eat something warmer, and then just like microwaved cheese on pita bread, or on like a tortilla.
Let's also consider
what you should have done is absolutely nuke it in the microwave. Put it in there for 9 minutes.
Yeah,
it's the hottest thing ever. Burping and destroying the microwave.
It burns down your apartment,
and then burn the roof of your mouth to fucking smithereens, and be like, what'd you do that?
Did you start the session? You put it in there for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, just smoke coming from the kitchen.
Mushroom cloud.
We also need to consider the social aspect of this, right? Which is, it's one thing to at home just be like, fucking whatever. It was a long day of work. I'm going to crack this can and suck down some lukewarm ravioli. But to crack a can of stored goods from your friend and just start spooning it at the table is strange. Can we agree with that?
Certainly. Yeah. In front of other people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if the in front of other people thing is so weird. You know.
Re-recuse yourself.
Right. Yeah, I know.
No, Emily, just recuse yourself. You got to stand by your words. I think that this different, what separates the chickpea from the ravioli is the splorch. The splorch factor is huge with this lukewarm can. Mm. And I think like even the heat is gonna like de-splorchify it a bit, but also like you could have put it in a bowl. You could have had it luke in a
easy
bowl.
It's so easy
to
fix.
You know where the canned goods are. You know where the bowls are, friend. Mm.
Biting into lukewarm meat inside of the wet ravioli is just not doing it for me.
Yeah. I mean, I like a day-old pizza. I like a pizza that's like left out on the counter the next day. Would you say that I should microwave that?
Yeah. No, that's different. I would say those are two separate food groups.
I feel like pizza at different temperatures is a pretty universally thing, right?
And I think the one thing is talked about all the time, and the other thing, if somebody was just like, got some fettuccine Alfredo, I just leave it out. I just leave it out, and I eat it the next morning. It's not the same. Yeah.
Well, we're going to be setting precedent moving forward, so I think we really should.
I'm shocked that so many people are cool to eat lukewarm room temperature Chef Boyardee at essentially a party where people think this is normal.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote against you.
I've recused myself. Emily recused herself, so she's out. So we got disgusting.
I feel like Murph's closing argument has convinced me to abstain because I don't want to be on the record either way on either side of this debate.
I'm absolutely siding with Murph. I like to get wet and wild with food, but this is a bridge too far.
Yeah. You know what this means is that the people who agree with you are ashamed of it.
Oh no! I think that does say it all.
What I will do, I will add an addendum here, which is that I think when we do our rotisserie race, the appetizer course should be a can of
I'm gagging thinking about it. I know it's not that bad, but just
let's make a meal of
just
it.
Just when
folks.
You expect something, when you get like a sandwich delivered and you expect it to be hot, and instead you bite into it and it's just like you get hit with that cold sauce.
True. Yeah, it tastes
no
like
fucking
room.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Tastes like a goddamn can.
All right.
Okay.
So you're
we gotta punish him though.
Oh right.
Yeah. I mean, you're already punishing yourself.
Right.
Right. What could we?
What if you have to replace the? Maybe you have to replace the pillows on your bed with.
With what?
Excuse me?
Big ravioli?
With big raviolis?
Okay. Oh, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
You want your pillow to be a little cold, but it's going to be lukewarm.
Yeah, it's going
to
be lukewarm. So be the opposite problem. Okay. Yeah. No, you got to replace your pillows with big wet raviolis.
Oh, I had a dream. I ate my pillow.
Ravioli pillows.
And I did. Okay. Amazing. So ordered. Sounds delicious. Okay, our next case comes from Ali D. Ali writes, to the honorable justices and the handsome yet self-effacing bailiff Jake. Interesting.
All right.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
He's working his way back up.
Thanks. I submit to you the case of the Banshee and the Bubble. This case begins in the long-abandoned city of Myth-Drenor.
Cool.
Our party had settled down for the night in a hollowed-out building surrounded by the ghosts and ghouls of cataclysms past.
Hmm, such is the way of Myth-Drenor.
My drag queen glamour bard, Miss Dean D., had cast the spell Liamin's Tiny Hut to keep us safe and warm.
Aww.
During the night, our encampment was approached by a banshee. She used her wail ability, on which my poor bard failed her save, dropping her to 0 hit points. My DM ruled that this dispelled the tiny hut and allowed for more monsters to descend upon us.
Okay. This is going to have... I don't know about this.
Incorrect, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Go on.
Go on.
I argued that the spells cannot penetrate the tiny hut, but he countered that the wail is not a spell, but an ability. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I conceded with his ruling because it's his call to make, but I still disagree with the ruling.
Okay.
I would classify a banshee wail as a magical effect, thus preventing it from passing through the dome. We prevailed in the end, but this thorn continues to prick. Justices, I humbly await your judgment on this matter.
All right, let's read Liamin's Tiny Hut. Casting Please. Time, 1 minute. So it's like a ritual. It's not concentration, just pops up. And then it's around for 8 hours.
Okay. But it does say the spell ends if you leave its area.
Spell ends if you leave its area. Okay. Dome springs into existence around and above you and remains stationary for the duration. Spell ends if you leave the area. Creatures and objects within the dome, when you cast a spell, can move through it freely. All other creatures and objects are barred from passing through it. Spells and other magical effects can extend through the dome or be cast through it.
The whale's got to be a magical effect.
Yeah, the atmosphere inside the space is comfortable and dry regardless of the weather outside. Until the spell ends, you can command the interior to become dim or dark.
I think the whale is a magical effect.
Although, like, would you consider a dragon's breath a magical effect?
No, it's a weapon. It's called a breath weapon.
Okay, let's look up the Banshee's whale.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, let's see.
Now we are going to the text.
Yeah. Ooh.
Wail once a day. The banshee releases a mournful wail, provided that she isn't in sunlight. The wail has no effect on constructs and undead. All other creatures within 30 feet of her that can hear her must make a DC 13 constitution saving throw. On a failure, a creature drops to 0 hit points. On a success, it takes blah, blah, blah.
Oh, boy. Okay, damage. So it's here. So can you hear stuff through there? Spells and other magical effects can extend through the dome or be cast through it.
Okay. Well, the atmosphere inside the space is comfortable and dry, which means that there's probably insulation in the walls, which would serve to dampen the wailing effect.
I mean, right? That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, there's no way that this magical hut doesn't affect this. The absorption of this sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would consider it. The only thing that would really trip me up, I think, is something like a dragon's breath that does feel like a physical kind of attack while also feeling kind of magical.
Yeah.
That trips me up.
Is just hearing it enough hearing or do you have it, to be targeted?
Yeah, but it says here, magical effects can extend through the dome.
This is a tricky one.
So I tend to agree with the player here that it shouldn't have affected them. Especially because if the Banshee knows where they are, there's just lots of inventive ways for the DM to set up traps and stuff and wait for them and stuff. There's no reason to try to get around your players. It's like, let them get their rest. And in the night, you know, they see the Banshee outside or something like that. And they know that they need to find an escape.
Yeah. This is a tough nut.
Actual rules one.
Mm-hmm.
You could almost ask the players. Like, I feel like if, say, we had this spell, and the question is, do you want to be able to hear what's going on outside of the tent or the hut? I would be like, yes, I'd like to be able to stay alert. And then if you're doing that, then you are susceptible to this Banshee's wail.
I think if I was in this DM shoes and I really wanted to be a stickler, I might just be like, because of the tiny hut, the wail is a little muffled, so the save is a little lower.
Right. You can't hear. It's not as piercing.
I might try to compromise there if I really wanted to go through with that.
Yeah.
I feel like the purpose of this spell and maybe... rules as written, the DM can get around it. I think the purpose of it is to give you kind of a safe place from mm-hmm. stuff like this.
Yeah.
So I will rule with my heart.
There you go.
And say that wow. I think you're right. And I very lightly think that because it's close.
I say I could be convinced otherwise.
Reading the language of whale, it is like, it's like the whale has no effect on constructs and undead. All other creatures that can see her make a saving throw. You take psychic damage from it. It's not something physical. It is like a magical effect. It's not just, you know, it bursts your eardrums because it's so loud or something. It's like it doesn't affect undead or anything. This suggests to me that it's some kind of magical effect.
It's otherworldly.
I'm ruling with the player, but it's not based off of like precedent or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, logically, I can't wrap my head around why. It just makes sense.
Effect.
It just makes sense.
Yeah,
that's why you take the spell.
I think Jake has a great point too, which is if the DM really did want to bait their players and be like, this is a scary place. There's banshees and ghosts and stuff everywhere. You could be like, do you want to hear outside?
Oh yeah.
And then if they said yes, I could see you then giving yourself a generous read on the Liamen's tiny hut. But I think in general, maybe give the generous read to the players. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
You deserve a nice, safe, tiny hut.
Nice, safe, tiny
that
hut.
That you walk out of and immediately get ambushed.
Yeah.
You deserve that.
Yes, ambush them after. But
you should be able to enjoy your hut. That's like you should enjoy your tiny hut.
All right.
Get your hours of sleep while
Jake,
your DM...
Yeah, Jake, order this DM some food and let's throw their card in a hole. Let's turn the ravioli into a goddamn pillow.
Whoa. For dinner, you are about to have...
Order them dinner, dude.
Order him dinner.
Order him dinner.
Order him dinner. Oh, chop suey or chow mein.
Okay.
Beef.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Beef,
I've never
good.
Had either.
I think what we got to do is we got to get them a hut in the woods and be like, your chop suey's out in there. Go get it.
And it's lukewarm.
It's lukewarm. And guess what?
It's freaking Luke.
Yeah. Lukewarm. It's in a hole. It's
and
a
you're
going
to get ambushed by a ravioli pillow.
All right, tell you what, why don't we close this out with something that is both a confession and a case, kind
wow.
of.
And so we will decide.
Frankly, they're putting Dice Christ on trial.
What?
Whoa.
Yes, whoa. It's a case against Dice Christ themselves.
What does this world come to?
Stephen writes, may it please the court and do something for the bailiff. I present the case of player versus DM and Dice Christ. I ran an encounter where the party was trying to escape the realm of death. They had to fight a Night Vale specter, an enemy from the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, and it was quite a challenge for them. The party were under the effects of a hero's feast from an NPC, so they had advantage on wisdom saving throws. There's also a paladin in the group with a +4 aura. The specter attacks with its mind twists, a DC 15 wisdom save, and everyone except the rogue passed. He became stunned and could make the save again on his next turn. He failed, complaining that he didn't get to do anything that round. The party fought the specter and it kept attacking. The rogue fails again, now complaining more.
Yeah,
he failed 5 times total with advantage, the paladin's aura, and his wisdom save. He never rolled above an 8 during the fight. He complained that I should have made the DC easier, and stunned is an unfair mechanic. Your honors, is Dice Christ at fault, or did I make a mistake using an enemy with a stun attack?
First off, hold your tongue. This is not Dice Christ's fault. Dice Christ said nothing about stunning.
Yeah.
I'm stunned at your just appalling lack of trust in Dice Christ.
Dice Christ doesn't write the playbook.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to order dinner for you right now.
I think I personally have definitely had runs where I roll like shit and I get stuck in a situation and... Sometimes, I don't know, it's okay. Like, I think that this person sounds like they're overreacting a bit. Like, totally. They could have been playfully like, fuck me. But, I don't think that, I don't know that it was wrong. As long as the DC was achievable. When there's, not achievable DCs, that feels insane.
They had, +4 or 5 advantage. Yeah.
This,
they're just rolling terribly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's and I understand that that sucks, but you gotta, you know, like, you gotta just let it suck.
I feel like your rogue almost needs to embrace how bad those rolls were.
Totally.
That is miraculous.
Kind of a fun moment when you go from being like, I'm rolling like shit, to like feeling like, oh, fuck, I'm rolling like shit, this sucks, to being like, I'm still rolling like shit, and it's funny now.
Yeah, it definitely goes around the bin.
That is 10 rolls with none of them being above an 8.
Yeah.
This is like character-defining bad, though. Like, you, I feel like as a player, you have to like go around the bin and be like, this is funny, and like, I think I can use this for developing my character later on. Like, I'm, your character is now like, scared. No,
I froze up in battle.
It's kind of hard to use, like, but when it's like kind of more of a mechanical stunning, it's hard to experience character growth with that. If you're just stunned for a whole battle.
But I see what Caldwell's saying. You can be like, I froze up back there or something like that. Just to have like a...
Or you like develop like a fear of the undead or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's like ways to like play it. Or even it's just like, it's like it becomes a joke at the table.
I think
by like remaining upset about this, it would be like if... When Moonshine rolled those 3 ones against that dragon, she was like, I fucking hate all dragons now.
Yeah.
When did I roll 3 ones against a dragon?
With Beverly Mishka Popoff when you
messed up. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We have talked about it before, how stun is kind of an unfun mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But sometimes
it's okay to have it sometimes.
Yeah, it's good sometimes with like battlefield control. Like, you don't want your players to just womp you every single time. Like, you need your higher level bad guys to have ways to deal with high level PCs.
Is there like a narrative thing you could do with stun that's not just like, oh, you're standing there frozen, like, you know,
I kind of agree with that a little
like,
bit.
Something is happening in this person's head or like,
oh, yeah.
Or like, I don't know, just so you can like give on the third or fourth roll that character, they have to be able to do something. I feel like throwing them a bone.
That's a really good call, is that like you could have seen in the moment, like Dice Quest was fucking weighing in and you kind of didn't make a moment out of it. And that was kind of in your hands to make the moment of, because the person's literally stunned. Like, I know I've played before, and when you're stunned, you're like, I don't even know if I can make a joke. Like, sometimes it's hard to figure out, like, can I even like participate casually right now when I'm stunned? It's like a bit of a confusing.
I will say though, for this DM, it does sound like the player was being pretty combative.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
The point to say that you should lower the DC.
I don't
know that person would have been satisfied if you were like, you're reminded of your past. You see your father.
Yeah. You are seated at a table.
It might have been though.
Maybe.
It might have just been that every time it comes to them, just nothing happens, right? And maybe if there was a moment of like giving a narrative context for the like mechanic of doing nothing, making it an emotional reaction. Cause a lot of times you get stunned and it's like, this is their paralytic spray. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you do have to be like colorful with the way you describe things and like getting everyone involved.
But I don't think that you really did anything.
Yeah, but
wrong.
You didn't really do anything wrong.
It sounds like your player was frustrated, and I would also be frustrated if I rolled that bad.
For
I think you could just chalk it up to like, hey man, like in the heat of the moment, your player was like, you should have made the DC lower.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you should have rolled above an 8. But
didn't quite happen.
They wouldn't want that. Yeah.
I think it's okay to have people frustrated at the table. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. I think the problem with D&D is there's no lockers to slam your fist against.
Totally.
Like, you can't like go into a locker room and be like, God, if only the DC were lower. Like, there's no tension release. Like there is in sports and other things.
But imagine if you're the player in that situation, you keep rolling bad, and then on the next turn, I'm like, okay, Jake, the DC is actually now 12. Then you roll a 12, you're like, all
but there,
right.
Like, there are ways to do that where, like, it's, you know, somebody's helping you or this.
Yeah.
So, X, Y, and Z has happened, and, like, the DC is like, hey, like, the tides of the battle are turning, so this DC is going to be lower now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Part of me does feel like on round 4, the fight's coming to a close. Your rogue hasn't been able to do anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never DM'd, so I can't really say it, but I think I would be like, they gotta just not be stunned the whole entire fight.
Yeah.
Try to smoke and mirrors, get them out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
side.
I'll say, like, even losing one round fucking sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, but...
And it sucks as a DM to, like, know that one of your players isn't having fun. It seems like a sucky situation all around.
Yeah.
And it seems like the players were trying to help, too. They had advantage. They had, aura.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is that as much as it sucks in that session, it is good for the future that everyone knows that the paladin, like, aura and stuff is not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah.
Bad stuff can still happen because it can definitely, if you start getting up all those abilities and you've got like a group with great like synergy, sometimes it's hard to hit them. It's hard to knock them out. It's hard to have any kind of challenge. So it's like, yeah, there's still a challenge here. There's still ways you can be taken down.
Yeah. I think you got to take them to Bob's Big Boy and just like have a little meal together and be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You okay?
Unfortunately, this player is going to be thrown down a hole.
Yeah.
Full of
skinny. They're going to pencil dive down a 200 foot skinny hole and land on a ravioli pillow.
Yeah, it is full of ravioli pillows.
Unfortunately, you went to the Bob's Big Boy with the hole.
Yeah. And the ravioli is wet.
It's Luke, buddy.
It's so Luke.
Yum. Luke and wet. Just how I like it. Just how the chef intended. Thank you, Mr. Boyardee.
I dare you to go to a restaurant and order something Luke.
Ew. If I were a server and someone was like, how do you like your steak? Lukewarm. What?
Luke, I'll take it Luke. Thank you.
Luke it up, please. Don't nuke it, just luke it.
Microwave.
I'll have a cocktail. Oh, and can that be Luke?
Yeah. Sweet, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. We're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. We'll be back next week with another episode and another short rest. In the meantime, Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Oh, gladly. Everyone reach your hand deep into the hole and pull out those lukewarm dice and give them a roll for me.
Roll it with the lukewarm dice.